Delaware 1, my name is Elijah Taylor, minister of the South Tower, Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation out of the South Tower, Liberty, Texas. Today is July 26, 2017, and is April 4, 2021. We will start our first service today with a song entitled Face to Face with Yahshua, My Savior. Face to face with Yahshua, my Savior. Face to face, where will it be? When with rapture I behold Him, Yahshua, who died for me. Face to face shall I behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see them by and by. Only faintly now I see Him, with the darkening veil between. But a blessed day is coming, when His glory shall be seen. Face to face shall I behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by. What rejoicing in His presence, when all banished grief and pain, when the crooked ways are straightened, the dark things shall remain. Face to face shall I behold Him, up beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by. So blissful moment, face to face you see and know. Face to face with my Redeemer, Yahshua, who loves me so. Face to face with your beholder, beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by.
Part 12, Prophecy of Daniel Revelation. We're going to continue on there with Shepherd Rod, Volume 2. We're on page 179. It says, for the doctrine of health reform is said to be the right hand and arm of the third angel's message, and that the medical work is the right hand of the message. The idea of the health reform is a thing of the past so far as the SDA, as the body, is concerned. And the leadership cares little, if that is not the worst. This unfaithful servant of the Yahweh has even dared stretch his hand over the gulf to form an unlawful alliance of the denominational medical institution with those of the world who are bitterly opposed unto the idea of health reform. Right hand and arm of the third angel's message. The very channel that was instituted for the upholding and carrying and carry that part of the work is being bound by a confederacy. And now, in order to maintain this alliance, it has been compelled to sacrifice the very principle for which it was organized. Thereby, Yahweh's agency for the treating the sick and preventing disease by the healthful living and divine healing through obedience to the truth has been substituted by the drugs. Thus the devil has cut off the right hand and arm of the third angel's message, and by this cutting device has robbed the SDA congregation of the Yahweh and Yahweh of its medical institution. What a calamity. What a loss. Would not Yahweh's faithful people at such a time as this come up to the help of the Yahweh against the mighty? How a body of people with so much light can become so blind is beyond human understanding. It is a mystery. I want to do a little review here of what I just read. In Kermit, Texas, I witnessed with my own eyes for 33 years the transgression of these health laws by the Brother W. Johnson and their wife and all of the members of the congregation. It says thereby Yahweh's agency for treating the sick and preventing disease by the helpful living and divine healing through the obedience of the truth has been substituted by the drugs. So, what did Rhoda Johnson and Law May, his wife, they pushed nothing but drugs. Oh, they interspersed it with natural stuff too. They eat a lot of good food. And they made a lot of salads. Lamay made a lot of salads and stuff. But still, they eat a lot of stuff and mix it with all this good food. And then when they got sick, they went to the doctor and to get a drug. So this is what I'm talking about. Thus the devil has cut off the right hand and arm of the third angel's message. So what happened? When Brother Johnson didn't uphold the health reform that Sister White advocated, then what did he do? He was a ringleader in cutting off the right hand of the third angel's message. And folks, that really affected all of us. It affected me and my wife to this very day. We're still working hard every day to come up on our health reform. Even right now, we haven't arrived nowhere near to perfection on this. Now let's go ahead. The 10 virgins, Matthew 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took the lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamp. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather unto them that sell and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him unto the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgin, saying, Master, Master, open unto us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Matthew 25:1-13. Observe that the 25th chapter is a continuation of the 24th. Mark the word, then meaning the time they fulfill the prophetic words contained in Matthew 24:48-51, the virgins are a figure of the SDA. Number 10 has the symbolic meaning of the universal, the SDA as a body. Note that they are all virgins. But the 144,000 are designated by the same word. See Revelation 14:4. The word virgin signifies that the class represented by them, 10, are not those who are called out from Babylon, fallen congregation at the time the cry is made. But if they were to come out of Babylon by the call, come out of her, my people, Revelation 18:4, they would have been defiled with women, fallen congregations, and therefore could not be called virgins. Thus the message of the midnight cry must find them in the house of the Yahweh's virgins. The midnight cry was first proclaimed prior to 1844, and the coming of the bridegroom was the Yahshua's coming unto the most holy place in the heavenly sanctuary on the day of the antitypical day of the atonement, October the 22nd, 1844. That was considered to be the 10th day of the 7th month, going back to the law of Moses for that day, for the investigative judgment of the saints. What saints? Those that had their name in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world, from Adam clear on down to 1844, and then the judgment started for them to perfect them by examining their records and putting the final seal to their record that they should have eternal life. The investigation being in two sections, first the judgment for the dead and the second for the living. The cry must be repeated, otherwise we would have no present truth for the time of the judgment of the living. The cry for the living being of a greater importance unto the world than the one for the dead, and as the virgins are a figure of the living SDA, the parable must have a direct application unto the SDA at this present time. The coming of the bridegroom for the judgment of the living. But indirectly, it points back to the commencement of the midnight cry, the first angel's message, the judgment for the dead, the messages being of the same event, judgment both for the living and for the dead, are called the midnight cry. The same is proven by the parable itself. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Note that they slumbered and slept before the cry was made. Lo, the summer, in the summer of 1844, midway between the time when it was first thought that the 2300 days would end on March 21st and the second date, October 22nd of the same year. This period they applied as being the tarrying time, but March at the cry had been going on for some years for the message by the miller, and the tarrying time was applied at its close. If they had discovered their miscalculations, which is contrary unto a proper application of the parable, for according unto the parable, they tarried between the cry was made. Therefore, the tarrying time must be the judgment for the dead. before the bridegroom came to the investigation of the living. Okay, so the dead started in 1844, Daniel 7, 9, and 10, 11, and it ended in 2002 at the Kermit, Texas, 158 years later. So that's Eutarian time. There's Eutarian time. About 160-year period of Eutarian time. Before the judgment came to the investigation of the living, in which time the ten virgins developed, so that is the time in which they all slumbered and slept. This application is also in the perfect harmony with the message unto the land of sins. See Revelation 3:14-19 and Isaiah 52:1-2. If the foregoing application is correct, then at the end of the Eutarian period, or just prior unto the commencement of the judgment of the living, there must be a message cry. And if the virgins are a figure of the SDA as a body in the time of the cry, then the message must be for the SDA only. This is also proven in the Great Controversy, page 425. Inasmuch as there is just such a cry presented in the Shepherd's Rod, Volume 1, it not only shows that the application of the parable is correct, but it also proves that the SDA congregation to be the house of the Yahweh. So, Brother Johnson being the angel of the candlestick of Laodicea, or the seventh candlestick, Revelation 3:14-19, shows that that Gilead Center was the last branch of the SDA congregation. They all slumbered and slept. For the statement by the Master proves that the SDA as a body has been asleep. Being in perfect harmony with the previous explanation of the 24th chapter of Matthew, five were foolish and five wise. Number 10, being a symbol of the congregation as a body. The number 5 and 5 means half and half. The denomination numbers at the present time a little over 300,000. Half of this number would be about 150,000. If we should subtract the dead material, backsliders, but still on the church record, the number derived after such deduction would be about 144,000. Thus again, it appears that the 144,000 are the five wise virgins, and the foolish ones are they who shall fall under the destroyer and weapons and the hand of the five men. And the Ezekiel 9 is with the slaughtering weapons in their hands. I'll go ahead and add that. But the wise took oil in their vessels with the lamps. The oil is a symbol of the Spirit of the Yahweh in the form of a message, truth. For it is the substance that gives the light, the prophetic word of the Yahweh. The lamp must be a symbol of the heart, into which the word oil is being retained. Okay, it says, for the trimming of their lamps is a trimming of their hearts. That is, their conscience being aroused, they began to show interest. But only five of them had an extra supply of oil in their vessel as they started out to meet the bridegroom. The lamps of the foolish ones went out, and as they found themselves in darkness, it made their progress impossible. Now the question arises, what made the lamps go out? And why could they go backward but not forward? As the message of judgment for the dead was the present truth since 1844, at the beginning of judgment for the living, when the cry was made, it became present truth no longer. Consequently, their lamps went out. they could not move forward because they were foolish. That is, they did not accept the light, the judgment for the living. Okay, that's the light that Elijah David had when I was given that message from heaven to deliver to Brother Johnson, July 14, 2002. And following that message, the Yahweh gave me the message. Also, that Matthew 20 is the next subject matter. The parable of Matthew 20 and the five groups of letters would be our number one subject matter that we would have to understand and learn from that point on in order to advance with the new light. The extra oil, in other words, that was in our lamps. That's what it was. The opening of the seventh seal with that information in it. Was the oil beyond their reach? Their words in the parable prove that they all heard the cry. They rose and trimmed their lamps. Five of them failed to get the supply of oil because they were foolish. They did not study for themselves. Allowed others to think for them. They chose the easy, popular side and accepted the decisions of the leaders, copied the mistakes of others, and were thus left without a supply of oil. Robbed of the truth, cheated of glory, and left in darkness. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. At last the foolish virgin saw themselves in the darkness. Then they went to the wise and asked for oil as a gift. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather unto them that sell and buy for yourself. The oil is sold, and there must be something given in exchange for the obtaining of the supply. So that oil is sold. And there must be, okay, for the price they had to pay was the sign and the cry for the abomination done in the midst thereof. Give up sinning and obey the truth. The recipe for the value of the exchange would have been the seal of the living Elohim in their foreheads. And while they went by, the bridegroom came and they were ready, went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. As was came also the other virgins, saying, Yeshua, Yeshua, open unto us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. As the foolish virgins at last came unto the door, it is evident that they obtained the oil, learned of the message, but there had been a delay. The door was shut and they were left out. Now, why were they unconcerned at first and very zealous at last? The experience in this instance is about the same as that of the deluge. While Noah preached the coming of the flood, the world paid little attention to this message. But those who believed went into the ark at a given time and the door was closed. But not long afterwards, signs of Noah's prediction appeared, and as drops of rain began to fall, the wicked multitude became alarmed and rushed for the ark. But the door was closed and they were left out. The door that was shut is a symbol showing that the probation for the SDA, our congregation, had closed just shortly after the foolish virgins, Rhoda Johnson and family and company there, and members that that was with him that didn't get the extra oil. I got the extra oil. My wife got the extra oil. Alan DeLong got the extra oil as well, but he let it go. He gave it up. They delivered him. He kept it long enough to be delivered out of the burning fire, but he didn't stay with it. At last, they were willing to pay the price and buy the oil, but it was not a change of heart, only the fear of losing out. Their course of action had left them without the seal, and man with the writer's inkhorn had passed them by. What a terrible mistake, what a disappointment, almost saved and but entirely lost. For the coming of Yahshua as our high priest unto the most holy place, October 22, 1844, according to the Seventh-day Adventist, on the day of Antipodal Day of the Atonement, for the beginning of the judgment for the dead, for the cleansing of the sanctuary, brought unto the view in Daniel 8:14, that the coming of the Son of Man unto the Ancient of the Days, that's the Father, as presented in the Daniel 7:13, and the coming of the Yeshua unto his temple. Now, you know, why they use that Ancient of Days? Why do you think that word is used? Well, Brother Johnson was the last angel in charge of the candlestick of Laodicea, and that came at the end of the judgment for the dead period. So he was the most ancient, he was the oldest one to have the light on the message that started in 1844. So he was ancient. Well, that's when he used this word ancient. As presented in the Daniel 7:13, and the coming of the Yahshua unto his temple, foretold by the Malachi, are the descriptions of the same event, and this is also represented by the coming of the bridegroom unto the marriage, described by the SDA congregation in the parable of the 10 virgins of Matthew 25. Great Controversy, page 426. For the description by the Daniel applies unto the commencement of the judgment for the dead. But the one by the Malachi 3:1-3 is applicable unto the judgment for the living, all of the same event, day of the atonement, cleansing of the sanctuary. The coming of the bridegroom, here brought to view, takes place before the marriage. For the marriage represents the reception by the Yahshua of his kingdom, the holy city. This needs more added to this two words, holy city. You need to, this needs to be redone, rewritten. I'll read this again. For the marriage represents the reception by the bride of his kingdom, the holy city. And so his kingdom is not the holy city. His kingdom has its headquarters in the holy city. The new Jerusalem, which is the capital and representative of the kingdom, is called the bride, the Lamb's wife. Said the angel unto the John, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Okay, so he carried me away in the spirit, says the prophet, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from Yahweh. Clearly then, the bride represents the holy city. And the virgins that go out to meet the bridegroom are a symbol of the church. I'm going to read you something now from the scriptures in conjunction with that. Now, here is a church in the prophecies of Jeremiah 33 with the name called the branch. And Yahshua's name is also the branch. Let's read it. Jeremiah 33, verse 14 and 15. Behold, the days come, saith the Yahweh, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and unto the house of Judah. So we're talking about the 10 tribes of Israel and the 2 tribes of Judah that have been separated. They're going to be brought back together. And they're going to be recognized by the 144,000 when they come forth. They'll recognize as 12 tribes being put back together in these last days. Verse 15. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to go up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. That's David. He's going to execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely, and this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Yeshua, or righteousness. Now, this is his wife. This is his wife with the name Yeshua, our righteousness. Would you say this is the Lamb's bride as well? So if it is, then where does it say in this prophecy that the holy city is the Lamb's wife? See, these modern day prophets, Ellen G. White and all of them, they have limited vocabulary and understanding. This is not even correct English. Let's go back now to our reading. We're on page 184 of Shepherd's Rod, Volume 2. It says, in the revelation, the people of the Yahweh are said to be the guests at the marriage supper. If guests, they cannot be represented also as a bride. No, that makes sense. But Yahshua, as stated by the prophet Daniel, will receive from the Ancient of Days in heaven. Now, I just read to you from Jeremiah 33, verse 14 and 15, where it talked about the whole congregation of the church represents the bride. The 144,000 then represents the whole leadership of the Seventh-day Adventist Church when they are brought forth out of her midst. When the 144,000 are separated from the Adventist Church, it means that that's the bride. And the bridegroom is the Lamb. It says so in Revelation 14, verse 1 through 5. Let's continue. Dominion and glory and a kingdom. Okay? So it says, once again, if guests, they cannot be represented also as the bride. Yahshua, as stated by the prophet Daniel, will receive from the Ancient of Days in heaven dominion and glory and a kingdom. He will receive the new Jerusalem, the capital of this kingdom of heaven here on earth, which is the same as the kingdom of David. And the kingdom of David is not made up with leadership role until the 144,000 is brought forth and joins this here house of David, Judah, the lawgiver. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Having received the kingdom, he will come in his glory as King of Kings and the Sovereign of Sovereigns for the redemption of his people who are to sit down with the Abraham and Isaac and Jacob at his table in his kingdom. He partake of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Great controversy, 426-427. The virgins were called to meet him, and thus by the faith go in with him to appear before the Father, the great judge. The seal is a permit. It places their names in the Lamb's Book of Life, and thus it grants unto them the right to appear before the Father, in the judgment, not in the person, but in the figure. Thus having their sins blotted out, Matthew 24, 36, and 50, are descriptions of the same event. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh, Matthew 25, 13. This has reference unto the time of the judgment and not of his coming unto the earth, for the saints shall know the day and the hour. that Yeshua is coming in the clouds to receive the redeemed, as it shall be announced by the Father shortly before his coming. See the Great Controversy, page 640. Summary of the Ten Virgins. The number 10 being a symbol of the universal, it represents the congregation as a body prior unto the commencement of the judgment of the living, and the sealing period of the 144,000, and before the loud cry of the third angel's message, being the period of the first fruits of the harvest. The five virgins, the five wise virgins, were they who trusted in Yahweh and His word only, having no confidence in man, and were hungry for the truth, searching for the light, and gladly accepted when it came. Thus they received the seal of Yahweh approval, their sins were blotted out, and their lives made sure. They passed from condemnation and death into glory and life eternal. They are Elohim's servants. Kings and priests, 144,000 in number. The five foolish virgins are they who had confidence in man. They were willing that others should think and study for them. Well, that describes Kermit, Texas, and that describes Waco, the shepherd's rod. Now, under V.T. Holofus, the people, they studied. I understand that they really studied. They understood for themselves the truth. But they also worshiped V.T. Holofus as well. I'm sure there was a lot of them that just followed V.T. Holofus and believed everything he told them without any studying for themselves. But there's a certain, though, that will study for themselves. For their love for this world and the things of it exceeded their love for the Yeshua and the world to come. They had no true sense of the awful results of sin. Their zeal for self ground their zeal for the house of Yahweh, and His honor they were satisfied with their lamps trimmed and but little oil in them. They saw no necessity for more light, prophets, truth, or message. They said in their heart, "We are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." They were prejudiced against the light upon the word of Yahweh and accepted not the truth because the channel through which it came was not of their choice. The knowledge of the present truth which the five foolish virgins possessed since 1844 is the judgment of the dead. Was the only oil in their lamp. When the judgment of the living commenced and its cry was made, they were found without the sacred oil in their vessels. They had neglected their Elohim's for their master's command. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Thus, when the wise ones started out to meet the bridegroom, the lamps of the foolish went out. For the judgment of the dead had passed, therefore it was present truth no more. And thus they were left in darkness at the beginning of the judgment of the Yahweh. They saw their mistake and rushed for the ark of safety, but it was beyond their reach. For they knew nothing of the message, and by the time they acquired it, filled their lamps with oil, there had been a delay. The angel passed through the city, through Jerusalem, Seventh-day Adventist Church. The sealing was finished, and probation for the church had closed. The door was shut. Thus they were left out. Then they came with these words, "Master, Master, open up to us," or "Yeshua, Yeshua, open up unto us." But he answered and said, "Verily, I never say unto you, I know you not. Appoint his portion with the hypocrites, who shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What a disappointment that will be." It will be noticed at the close of probation for the church and the one for the world are two different events. The former is a miniature representation of the latter. The scripture for the preceding one is found in Matthew 25:11-12. But of the final one, we read, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his works shall be." Revelation 22:11-12. At this time, those who were like the five foolish virgins were saved. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Jeremiah 8:20. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, they shall run to and fro. They seek the word of the Yahweh, and shall not find it. Amos 8:12. That ends that topic, a summary of the 10 virgins. We go now into the topic of the 7 seals and the sanctuary. This is in order to make a proper application of the 7 seals. We must have a better understanding of the heavenly sanctuary service, its origin, and the object of its existence as taught by the earthly sanctuary built by the Moses. Hebrews 8:5. In the sanctuary construction and service, it is revealed the plan of the salvation. The first apartment called the Holy Place, in which the high priest officiated daily with the sacrifices and divers manners of gifts and washings, was a place for confession of sin, all of which was a shadow of the heavenly plan, clearly revealing the plan of the salvation. The second apartment, within the veil called the Most Holy, or the Holiest of All, was opened only in the 7th month and 10th day of the month in each year. Their redemption from the condemnation of the law was assured. Leviticus 23:27-30, 16:34. It is called the Day of the Atonement, judgment of cleansing of the sanctuary, Leviticus 16:33, Daniel 7:10, 8:14. This was a day for the blood and not of sins accumulated during the year, and was a symbol of the great Day of the Atonement, not in a figure but in reality. See Leviticus 16:19, also the great controversy, page 485. The seat overshadowed by the cherubims being called the mercy seat proves that it is a throne of mercy, and therefore a throne of judgment where sinners can obtain mercy. The entire system, priest, sacrifice, and service, was a type of Yeshua and his administration in the heavenly sanctuary that the Yahweh pitched and not man. See Hebrews 8:2 and the Acts of the Apostles, page 14. For the holy place was for the confession of sin, but the most holy for the blotting out of the sin. While the services in the earthly sanctuary were in operation, there could have been no service in the heaven until after Yahshua ascended and became our high priest. See Hebrews 8. Therefore, when the services in the heaven began, the services in the earthly ceased. For the true worshipers in the earthly, who by faith look forward unto the administration of the heavenly, were created in the books of heaven as worthy of the life eternal. Their records were to be investigated when Yeshua, our high priest, entered within the veil into the holiest of all to blot out sin. See Daniel 7:10. Says the Spirit of Yahweh, "It is impossible that the sins of men should be blotted out till after judgment, at which time their cases are to be investigated." For the Great Controversy, 485. While services in the earthly sanctuary were enforced, the heavenly served as a depository for the confessed sin. The same is true even under the church's administration while in the holy apartment until he entered into the most holy. The plan of the salvation preceded the fall. The heavenly sanctuary being for confession and the blood and out of sin, it could not have existed before sin entered and brought about the necessity for such a structure. Although the sanctuary service was originated after Adam's sin, the plan of salvation had always existed and was revealed in and by the sanctuary service. Thus, the plan that preceded the fall is found in the Yeshua, in whom there was and is redeeming power for all. In the sanctuary, the eternal place of the Yahweh's throne. While the earthly sanctuary existed, Yahweh met his people in the most holy place, where his presence was manifested between the cherubim on the mercy seat. Therefore, some have taken the position that the eternal place of Yahweh's throne is in the holiest of all of the heavenly sanctuary. But such an idea is contrary unto both type and antitype. The first reason is that the sanctuary did not always exist as previously explained. Second, the most holy was closed while Yahshua ministered in the holy, says Paul. We have such an high priest who is sit on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heaven. Hebrews 8:1. If the Yahweh's throne was in the most holy place and the Yahshua ascended on high, then he must have immediately entered the holiest of all instead of the holy place. Such a position is contrary unto both scripture and service. For Yahweh met his ancient people in the holiest of all, where in the figure their sins were blotted out, thus symbolically showing that he cannot meet his saints face to face until after he has met them in the most holy, blotted out their sins, not in the figure, but in the reality. In the antitypical day of the atonement, we shall prove this again from another angle. For the revelator in a vision about 96 A.D. was permitted to look into both apartments. A voice from the heaven said unto him, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Then he saw a throne sit, and one sat on the throne, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, unto a crystal. See Revelation 14:1-6, or Revelation 4:1-6. For the voice told him that the things which he saw were to be hereafter, that is, in the future, from the time of the vision. Hence it is evident that there was no throne there at that time, about 62 years after Yahshua had ascended to the throne. Therefore, Yahshua sat on the right hand of the Yahweh, but not on the throne in the sanctuary. But then, has Elohim more than one throne? Throne is a seat, and wherever Yahweh sits, there his throne is. Note that around and before the throne in the sanctuary is the sea of glass. Now we read from another throne, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of Yahweh and the Lamb, Revelation 23:1. Again, note that from one of the thrones proceeds the river of life, but from the other the sea of glass. Therefore there are two thrones. Yahshua sat at the right hand of Yahweh on the throne from which proceeds the river of life. For this is the one called the throne of Yahweh and the Lamb. This is Elohim's eternal place of the abode, but the one in the sanctuary will sit for the time being. See Daniel 7:9-10. During Yahshua's ministration in the holiest of all, which is the throne of judgment, of blotting out sins and granting of reward. The one from which proceeds the river of life is a throne of life and of eternity. Where is the throne seen by John? Revelation 4:1-4-6. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in the heaven, and one sat on the throne. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of Yahweh. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. The description of the place is such that it bears evidence of being in the heavenly sanctuary. The same is supported by the spirit of prophecy. As in vision, the Apostle John was granted a view of the temple of Yahweh in heaven. He beheld there 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne. He saw an angel having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. Here the prophet was permitted to behold the first part of the sanctuary in heaven. And he saw there the 7 lamps of fire and the golden altar represented by the golden candlestick and the altar of incense in the sanctuary on earth. Again, the temple of Yahweh was open, and he looked within the inner veil upon the Holy of Holies. Here he beheld the Ark of his Testament represented by the sacred chest instructed by the Moses that contained the law of Yahweh, Patriarchs and Prophets 3:56. In the earthly sanctuary, the high priest alone was permitted to officiate in the sacred apartment within the veil, and it has been understood by some that the throne seen by the John should not have been in the most holy, because the 24 elders are before the throne. That thought is correct, for it would be unreasonable to take the position that Yahweh would have his throne from the holiest of all to the holy place, rather than for the elders to enter in the most holy before the throne. Furthermore, it is the throne of the eternal one that makes the second apartment most holy. Therefore, if we take the position thus that the elders and the beasts or creatures were not permitted in the second apartment before the throne, neither would they be permitted in the first apartment before the throne. Taking any other stand than this would be saying that the apartment is holier than the Creator and his throne. According to Paul, the services within the veil of the earthly tabernacle cannot clear all that takes place in the heaven, said he. The Holy Spirit, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, Hebrews 9:8. Therefore, we must find the truth of the services in the heavenly sanctuary from another angle. We quote Daniel 7:9-10. I beheld how the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000,000 ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. this mathematically adds up to 100 million. For the prophet was shown the commencement of the judgment, atonement, parenthesis, or as it is also called, the cleansing of the sanctuary, which takes place in the most holy apartment. So when William Miller had the prophecy, the 23-day prophecy, Daniel 8:14 was his key verse, cleansing of the sanctuary. And he predicted that that would take place sometime in 1844. And the Adventists set the date for October the 22nd for the cleansing of the sanctuary, Daniel 8:14, which is called the blotting out of sins at the antitypical day of the atonement. For those records that was in the record books from Adam clear up to that point. For it says, the judgment was set and the books were opened. Now note that 1,000,000 ministered unto him and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. Thus we see, as Paul is right, that the service of the heavenly was not fully manifested by the service in the earthly. There was a high priest along with permitted to enter the most holy place in the earthly, and innumerable coming entered into the heavenly. Therefore, where is the evidence that the elders cannot be in the holiest of all? It is impossible to apply the fulfillment of the 23 prophetic days, years of the Daniel's vision in chapter 8, verse 14, at any other time than the judgment for the dead, Daniel 7, 9, 10, that began in 1844 with the Ancient of Days. This brings the first message to this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close this service now with a song. Lower lights, brightly beams our Father's mercy. Brightly beams our Father's mercy. From his light our servant Lord, but to us he gives a keeping of the lights along the shore. Let those lights be burning, send a gleam across the way. Some poor faith, he's struggling seaman, he may rescue you, may say. Dark the night, our sin has settled, and the angry billows roll. Eager eyes are watching longing, for the lights of love the shore. Let the love lights be burning, and the gleam across the way. And for faith in the struggling seaman, he may rescue you, may say. Bend your faith, fill up my brother. Some more sailor tempest calls, trying now to make the harbor in the darkness make it wrong. Let the Lord lights be burning, send a gleam across the way. Some poor faith, he's struggling seaman, he may rescue you, may say.